Estrans, there were 81 people who were exposed to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise the Lord for that. And still, our exhibit downstairs is still ongoing. And by the way, if you are free this evening, I was not able to announce this in our 10 a.m., but if you are free this evening, you may please coordinate with Brother Hector as we will dismantle all of our exhibits downstairs later tonight at 9 p.m. So if you are here, just in the area, you can help us. Now let me share to you the statistics about loneliness, and I got this from the website campaigntoendloneliness.org. And it says in their survey, this is not only true for UK, because the survey was done in UK, but this is also true in the Philippines as well, as because there are many Filipinos who are lonely, sad, in despair, or depressed. This was conducted January of this year. The survey says that 17% of older people are in contact with family, friends, and neighbors less than once a week. And about 11% are in contact less than once a month. That is why they are sad or lonely or depressed. Over half of all people, around 51% of age 75 and over, live alone in their homes or in their house. Two-fifths of older people say that, take note of this, television is their main company. Yun na lang po yung kanilang kasama, it's television. And about 63% of adults age 52 or over have been widowed. That caused them depression. And 51% of the same group have been separated or divorced, according to the report. And 59% of adults over 52 have been reported with poor health, and that causes them depression or loneliness. And a higher percentage of these are women than men. I just don't know here in the Philippines. Is it higher with women or men? And I have friends who are really battling loneliness. They are depressed right now, at this very moment. They are in despair right now. They have different reasons, but the same result. Loneliness and depression. They are in despair right now. So this afternoon, are you in despair? Are you lonely? Do you feel sad right now? Here's the good news. The good news is I know of someone who can turn our despair into delight. Why? Because his words can give life. Because he said he is the resurrection and the life. Therefore, he can give life to our weary souls. So put your hope in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, because he is the risen Lord. The risen Lord can turn your despair into delight. Let's look at the scripture. Where can we find that? May I ask everyone to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word? Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. I don't have this in our PowerPoint, so please open your Bibles. It is good for you to always bring your Bibles, whether electronic or hardbound. So please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 up to 35. The Word of God says, That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was shown to them in the breaking of the bread. May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we are here this afternoon to study your word. Help us, Lord God, to see the risen Lord in this story about these two men who were walking at the road towards Emmaus. Father, I pray, just like them, may our hearts burn within us this afternoon as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. Today we are celebrating or commemorating the resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a very, very important doctrine for us because the Bible says, And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. But the scripture clearly says that Christ rose from the dead. There were about many eyewitnesses to confirm that indeed Jesus rose from the dead. Now in our passage, we will see in the narrative, this is what happened after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. 3 days after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the setting of the narrative or of our passage. Some of his disciples, they were still grieving, particularly these two men. They were walking towards Emmaus, about 11 kilometers, it says here 7 miles. In our context, it's 11 kilometers away from Jerusalem. They were sad because of what had happened to Jesus. But the risen Lord, he presented himself to them, and the result was he has turned their sorrows. They are in despair, but he turned their despair into delight after he spoke to them the word and he broke bread with them. Let us see the story, the narrative. It started with the word that very day. Okay, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. Now, that very day, it points us to what had happened before. Okay? In context, it is in the preceding verses, and this is what happened on that day. Okay, let me just read this to you. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the very first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. These were angels. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living? Look at this question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter, the apostle Peter, rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, this is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It pertains to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, GCF Nuvali, again, let me tell you this. This is a very, very, very important doctrine for us. Because just like what the Apostle Paul said, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then we are to be pitied. Sa Tagalog po, tayo na yung pinaka nakakaawa. Because it seems that we are just disillusioned when it comes to our faith. Thus, the skeptics, this is what they were, and they are still trying to disprove. They are telling that the resurrection is just a hoax. But let me tell you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is a historical fact. Because according to Paul, there were about 500 eyewitnesses. And it only takes 2 to 3 witnesses to establish a credible story. And we have 500 credible witnesses that witnessed the resurrection. So church, I am telling you this truth because this should encourage us that what we believe is true. This is our hope. We are not disillusioned, just like what many skeptics are saying about us, because our faith is based on reason. Our faith is based on reason. We have evidences, and the burden of proof lies on the skeptics, not on us. Because we have so many evidences to prove that indeed we believe in a historical Jesus. Now, try to imagine the scene here. From Peter, it is as if the camera faded from Peter. It now focuses on the two men, okay, walking towards Emmaus. Actually, the word Emmaus, that is the slang word for Emmaus. So, totoo po yung chismis na naglakad daw si Jesus sa Cavite, sa Emmaus, Cavite. Okay, so now you know. Okay, that is the slang word for Emmaus. No, kidding aside, I just want us to feel the narrative, okay? Because these two men, as they were walking, about 11 kilometers away from Jerusalem, they were just walking, okay? And the narrative told us, as they were walking, they were sad. They were sad because of what had happened. And the word sad in the original language, it means gloomy, silent, dark. So it is as if they were in a dark tunnel. That is what is happening in their hearts. They were sad at this very moment. They were distressed, in despair, disheartened, or even discouraged. That is the look of these two men. One was named Cleopas. Both of them were in despair. Why? Because of what had happened in Jerusalem. And that is the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Cleopas, and then Jesus came with them, and then he asked them about why are they sad? What happened? And then Cleopas even told him, are you a visitor here that you don't know what happened in Jerusalem about 3 days ago? And actually Jesus somehow humored them when he asked them, what things? Imagine the risen Lord, of course he knows everything, he knows what happened to him, and yet he's asking them also, what things? Then both of them answered him as to what had happened, particularly in verse 21. This is what they say. They say that their leaders crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at this in verse 21. He said, but we had hoped. You see that? But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. This is the reason why they were so sad, why they were walking in despair, because for them, their hope was nailed on the cross. That is in their perspective at this point in time. They don't know yet that it was Jesus who was the one talking to them. So for them, their hope was crucified along with the Lord. That's why they were so sad. They were in despair. One Bible scholar named Darrell Bach said, the disciples themselves thought Jesus was more than a prophet and hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. That was the hope that they saw nailed to a cross in the capital. Capital meaning Jerusalem. So these two men, they were in despair. They were sad. They were somehow feeling hopeless because for them, in their minds and in their hearts, their hope was there, gone. It was nailed on the cross. They were expecting Jesus to liberate them from the Roman tyranny, but they saw Jesus crucified. And they even saw him died on the cross. Yes, they heard the news that the body was not in the tomb, but they don't know yet if indeed Christ had risen from the dead. Robert Stein said, the two disciples expressed their disappointment in the course of events. Undoubtedly, they possessed a more political religious understanding of how the Christ would redeem Israel. For them, the redemption of Israel meant Israel's liberation from their enemies, the Romans. But for Luke, the writer of this gospel, for Luke, however, Jesus did in fact redeem Israel and brought the kingdom of God, yet it was by his death. It was by his death that Jesus accomplished this redemption and sealed this new covenant. Now, what does this mean for us today? Are you discouraged? Are you in despair right now? Let me tell you that it is not easy to be lonely, to feel that sadness. Again, just like what I told you a while ago, I have so many friends, Christian leaders, who are in a gloomy situation right now. A pastor friend of mine posted in his Facebook account, and this is what he said just last Monday. I used to think that loneliness and depression were for losers until I became one. Be kind to losers. It is for us that the Lord came, not for the winners. There were also many who had gone through loneliness. I read, and perhaps you have read, Charles Spurgeon, Sir Isaac Newton, Martin Luther, Charles Stanley. What do they have in common? Depression, sadness, loneliness. Remember that I also shared to you last December, I have this feeling of loneliness. I was so depressed last year of December. I also saw in a Facebook account another friend of mine, and this is just what he posted. No words, but only picture. Another friend of mine posted, he said, I listen to this in tears, to a sermon, because it's good to know someone has gone through like this, like I'm going through this now. Christians don't always understand. And yes, with love and every good intention, they will tell you to read the word and to stop it, to snap out of it, to pray yourself out of it. But, he said, it just don't work. It just don't work. And I thank the Lord for the experience of Pastor Tommy, because there is a light at the end of this tunnel, and it's Jesus Christ. I can't wait for the darkness to lift. Now, what I can tell you right now, if you are suffering from loneliness, depression, despair, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in our circumstances, but our hope is in Jesus Christ. I will not tell you magic words that you will utter and viola, your sadness will gone. No, I will not tell you the step 1, 2, 3 in order for you to overcome depression. I understand that nothing that I say here will help you in your loneliness, but only Jesus. and help you. Our risen Lord, He can turn your despair into delight. Put your hope in Him. If you are a believer, renew your hope in Him. Because He alone can turn our despair into delight. Look at what He said to these two men. He said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Take note, He just said, slow of heart to believe. He did not say unbelief, slow of heart to believe, because the same is true for us. Sometimes we know the scripture, but we don't apply the scripture in our lives. So we are slow to believe. We don't obey the scripture. Now, this verse, particularly verse 26, this is the main theme of chapter 24, because at least three times this theme was repeated by Luke. Okay? Look at the whole chapter 24. In Luke 24, 6 to 7, He said, "He is not here, but He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. On the third day, He will rise again." And our passage in chapter 24, verses 25, 26, and then the latter part of chapter 24, it says here, "Then He said to them, 'These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day, He will rise from the dead.'" That is the message. From the time of Moses, remember it was prophesied by Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 18. From the book of Psalms, there is what we call the Messianic Psalms, like Psalm 22. Isaiah, one of the prophets, he said, Isaiah 53, he prophesied about the suffering Messiah. He prophesied about 700 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He already prophesied about Jesus Christ, that He will suffer, and on the third day, He will rise again. What does it mean for us today? Christ suffered. Remember that Christ suffered not because that He committed sin, because the Bible says He is sinless. Okay? Just this week, this is what we commemorate, okay? The suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand that the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we call the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, because He satisfied the wrath of God. Remember, we are all sinners. And God is crying out for justice because we have sinned against Him. And the justice, we have seen it in Jesus Christ. That is why He sent His Son to die for our sins. Because the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." The truth, my dear brothers and sisters, we are all condemned to die. But it is only by His grace, by His mercy, by His justice that we have seen in Christ. That is the justice of God. That is the holiness of God. That is the love of God that we have seen all in Christ. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. All because of the finished work of Christ, there is now forgiveness for our sins. Not only that Christ suffered, but He said, but the Bible says Christ rose from the dead. That is why the book of Romans said, "Who was delivered up for our trespasses, for our sins, and raised up for our justification." Therefore, our salvation is complete in Christ Jesus. We are forgiven because of the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ told all of these things because this will give them hope. the finished work of the Messiah. This is the good news, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And this is also our hope. This is not only true during their time, but this is also our hope, because only Jesus can save us from sin. There is no other way for us to be forgiven, but only through Jesus Christ. That is why the scripture says that it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations. This is our hope, our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard from a pastor friend the story about the Bungkalot tribe. The Bungkalot tribe, they were the headhunters before. If you know that if someone did not explain to them the significance of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, for them the hero was the murderer. But because someone explained to them the significance of the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that every time they will hear the gospel, you know what? They will just simply beat their breast. Because they were so thankful, they were so grateful to God that they received salvation through Jesus Christ. They truly understand what Christ had done on the cross. The question for us, what about us? Are we so grateful for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus? Have you truly believed in Jesus? Have you truly put your confidence on the finished work of Jesus Christ? Maybe you are here, you know you have sinned, but you just treat sin lightly. Did you know that the payment for you to be forgiven is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we treat it lightly? We just commemorate Holy Week. It's all about Christ. It's all about His suffering and His resurrection. Do we treat it lightly? Or are we so grateful to Him? My prayer this afternoon is that may we truly reflect on who Christ is and what He has done for us. His substitutionary death. The truth, we should be the one who should be hanging on the cross. But instead, Christ did it for us. He died in order for us to be forgiven. And He rose from the dead for us to have eternal life. He satisfied God's cry for justice. So if you are here and you know you don't yet have a relationship with the Lord, my prayer is that may the Holy Spirit make you this, for you to understand this, that there's only one way for you to be forgiven, and that is through Jesus Christ. May you put your trust in Him and Him alone. Now for us who already believe, what is the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Aside from the fact that we have been saved from sin, let me tell you, the risen Lord can turn your despair into delight. Let's look at the narrative. It says here in verse 28, so they drew near to the village to which they were going, and He acted as if they were going farther. He was going farther, but they urged Him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, that the day is now far spent. So He went in to stay with them. Now look at the succeeding verses. This is the climax of the story, okay, about these two men who were walking at the road of Emmaus. Here's the climax. It says, when He was at the table with them, He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then verse 31, it says here, and their eyes were open, and they finally, okay, recognized Him. And then after they recognized Him, Jesus immediately vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the scripture? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed. When they say, isn't our heart burn within us? Remember the word sad, it means dark, means gloomy. While the word burn in the original language, it means to light. So the picture is like a lamp alight. Metaphorically speaking, it is as if someone opened a light in a dark room. That's what happened in their hearts. Their hearts were gloomy, it was dark, and yet when Jesus spoke to them, it is as if someone turned on the light in their heart. And then Jesus celebrated the breaking of the bread with them, and that moment, they recognized him, that indeed he is the risen Lord. So what is the significance of the resurrection for us today? The resurrection of Jesus, the truth about the resurrection, it gives us hope. It lights up. If you are just trying to imagine, if you are walking in a dark tunnel, you will see the light in Jesus Christ. At the end of the tunnel, there is light, and that is Jesus Christ. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it gives us hope. It gives us hope. Therefore, we should renew our hope in him, because he can turn our despair into delight. In conclusion, I want us to watch this video. I used this video last year, I know, but somehow this will remind us that the risen Lord, he can really turn our despair into delight. Let's watch this video clip. So here's the challenge for us, that as we go home tonight, this is a good time for us to reflect on what Christ had done for us. And my prayer is that we will really talk to him. We will just simply pour out our hearts to our Lord. Take delight in him. Renew your hope in him. Why? Because the risen Lord can turn your despair into delight. Today is a communion Sunday, so it is good for us to reflect on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And before we distribute the elements, let me just read to you a warning from the scripture. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. And thank you for the nail pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Christ
In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us raise the cup and say, "In memory of Christ, till he comes again."